Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
It's been one of the most unusual years in Australian politics that we can remember. We're almost tempted to label 2017 the year of the constitutional lawyer because of the many forays into Section 44 and the demise of many a political career as the result of issues like criminal charges, profit under the crown, bankruptcy, and most impressively of all, dual citizenship.
Well, it's a sort of week that has been possible for a long time because both in the 80s and 1990s, Parliament itself recognised this possibility and recommended that this part of the Constitution be changed. And Parliament did so because it could see that there was every possibility that MPs would be caught up with their citizenship and dismissed from Parliament in circumstances that were unfair and also out of kilter with the sort of society we are. So it's unfortunately one of those things that's taken a long time to come around, but it has always been possible.
And the upshot of it all? Well, perhaps it just shows how important it is to actually know what you're signing. Surprisingly, it wasn't the craziest year in politics. We did hear that after the First World War, both the left and the right were so disaffected with politicians, both sides were writing to General John Monash, pleading with him to lead a coup and become dictator. So things could have gotten even more interesting. If this wasn't the year of the constitutional lawyer, it certainly was the year same-sex marriage was signed into law in Australia. Open House followed both the no and the yes cases closely. And while the debate was robust at times, above all, we tried to respect different opinion.
So I wanted to give a bit of encouragement to people who want to vote no and are thinking of voting no, but find it hard to share that opinion with other people.
I am attracted to women now. Well, I'm attracted to one woman.
Yes.
And I'm married to her.
Yes.
And it's awesome.
Yes.
And am I still attracted to men? Well, yeah, but it's a lot less than it used to be.
So Jesus actually thinks the very reason of marriage is the dual sexes that is built into creation.
The coalition will take these issues much more seriously and that everybody is open-minded to the concerns you've raised. You actually need to vote yes and sit down and have a discussion about how we're going to change the law in a responsible and respectful way.
Same-sex marriages will officially commence in January. And as Christians, we need to remember that God has got this. The world won't end. Jesus is still on his throne. But the bill was passed without amendment, and we need to monitor and act to ensure that freedom of religion doesn't suffer as a result.
We're delighted to see that people are talking about religious freedom and that there's lots of conversations happening about the consequences that could flow from a change to marriage.
We need to do both at the same time. As we legislate for same-sex marriage, which we should do, we need to put in place adequate protections for people who have traditional marriage beliefs. And when I say protections, I mean things that would protect them from being discriminated against. I'm not talking about licensing them to discriminate against same-sex attracted Australians.
The result has not been as if there are dramatically more people living in same-sex relationships after the passage of marriage than before. I think the more significant piece has been within the culture at large and how one's view on LGBT issues has become sort of a proxy for what it means to be a respectable member of society.
You're listening to The Year in Review 2017 on Open House. We took a lot of cues on the religious freedom issue from Canada and the United States, where courts are deciding critical issues at the intersection of LGBT rights and religious freedom. Will that be Australia's future? But the aspect of America we kept coming back to was the compelling story, or compelling in that way you just can't take your eyes off something truly horrible. I'm talking, of course, about the 45th President, Donald Trump, he of fake news and policy by Twitter.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides, on many sides.
Some of the worst elements of society have been emboldened by President Trump's election.
There is growing concern about indicators of the world going in a very dangerous trajectory.
The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. We are not nation building again. We are killing terrorists.
On Open House, we concentrated on human rights, and it got pretty grim with awful stories of human trafficking and modern slavery, refugees and ethnic cleansing.
His friend died of exhaustion, and the captain of the fishing boat ordered the people to throw the Indonesian fisherman's body overboard, you see.
We understand that in the coming week, many of the men on Manus are going to start running out of medications, some relating to severe mental health issues that they have.
Like I walked through the gates of hell to the most dreadful human suffering that I've personally witnessed.
The indiscriminate nature of landmines as a weapon is what makes them so truly awful. You know, the Myanmarese authorities joined North Korea and Syria, being the only militaries in the world that we know of who actively use these horrible, horrible weapons.
No, there is no process. These are extrajudicial killings, plain and simple.
The hospital compound is the first thing that you see, and it sort of throws you a little bit. Basically, they had it set up in such a way that it was basically a guarded compound with even an actual functioning moat around the exterior of it. So it didn't have water in it, but obviously it just sort of helps to prevent vehicles from driving up to it. And the hospital's just got large sort of 15-foot high blast walls, and I believe they weigh approximately five ton each, and they are basically interlocked throughout the whole perimeter of the hospital, and then that's sort of what you see when you first arrive, in and amongst all the private security with machine gun mounted weapons on utes and local military and Humvees and all sorts of stuff. So it's certainly a little bit different to what I'm used to over here.
But amongst all that negativity, there were some bright spots.
So it's refugees helping refugees. And that's just an amazing story. That's astonishing. I've never heard of it before.
You were talking about schools and values for the government. My little girl, she's seven. She goes to the local Catholic school. It's a great school, and I couldn't be happier with her report at the end of last year. It said that she'd learnt the concepts of thanksgiving and forgiveness and to love one another as God has loved us.
Well, this is a wonderful Christian miracle, and I mean that seriously. One of our staff, Tony Renato, working in Niger, the poorest nation on earth, he was praying. It's pointless me being an agriculturalist here in Niger. I'm trying to plant trees. They all die. And he noticed that there was a bit of greenery coming out of the tree stump. And he heard the Lord say to him, you see, that tree is not dead. There's a root system, and with this many tree stumps and greenery, there's an underground forest. And it was like an answer to prayer. Now in this year, there are 200 million trees that have come back that were once thought dead.
People came in and just kind of shone this light. It had such a powerful effect. I started thinking of them as like vigilantes of grace.
They're Muslim, Syrian refugees living in abject poverty. They're not praying for the new Apple Watch, or they're not praying for the blessing.
Yes.
They're praying for these deep spiritual things, saying, Jesus, make yourself real to me. And what we're seeing is that time after time again, Jesus is turning up and people are coming to find him, and it is just incredible.
You're listening to The Year in Review 2017 on Open House.
Subscribe to the Open House podcast on iTunes. Open House.
In 2017, we met amazing people who inspired us with their stories, their faith, and their passion to make the world a better place.
He said, well, I've got balaclavas, I've got guns. This is what we're going to do. We're going to grab the people that owe us money. We're going to put them in body bags, take them out, blow their heads off and chuck them down holes. Deep down in my heart, I actually sensed the Lord call me by name, and he told me, he said, Mark, don't hurt people.
That gives me a lot of hope that we could be, that we could truly love each other and love each other for who we truly are.
I think the Word of God is the book of justice. And I think we need to be at the pointy end of that justice. So where is there greatest injustice in the world? And you can't go past human trafficking and modern slavery.
The man that kidnapped me was very obsessed with me. So it was very hard for me to escape him. Every moment of surviving was really a miracle. So I wanted a place where people can help me, not out of pity because of my story or what had happened to me. And I wanted to put the past to the past, and I can be treated as normal, not a victim.
And my parents rushed me into the eye hospital, and I recall sitting between them, looking out the window and wondering why the buildings were getting further away. And it's that moment that I look up into my mother's face and the lights do go out. And now a moment later, she's hugging me and I can feel her tears.
I walked around a corner and saw an exercise yard with a grey-haired lady in it, walking up and down, pacing, moaning, wailing. And it was such a flashback, and it just sort of stopped me in my tracks. And I realised that the child visiting Callan Park had been terrified. All my compassion for the mentally ill kicked in, and it was as if God was saying, you know, in the past you've been on the outside looking in, but I've brought you in here on the inside so you can look out and try to see the world through your grandmother's eyes.
With my very small amount of sight, I could see the sunset. It really felt a lot like that's how my life is. I've always tried to pack in as much as I can while I still have some sight.
I feel really good. I really enjoy working in here with all these people. All those old people are very kind.
Just giving back to all of them because they can't really help themselves. I like helping them out every Friday. It's nice.
It's through my time with dying people, I certainly learned a lot more about how to go gently and how to be courageous. When I came up against this challenge, I was able to see that the importance of courage and that learning to surrender to the lessons and find those blessings was going to take an enormous amount of courage and faith, because it was the only way I could see the positives in the situation. Otherwise, it was just too full of despair and grief for what my life used to be.
We heard about scientific breakthroughs and we explored God's amazing universe.
This is daring stuff, because nobody until now has known what there was in there. It could have been full of little bits of ice and debris, and when you're travelling at 30 kilometres per second, anything that you run into tends to do a lot of damage. Isn't it Psalm 19 that says the heavens declare the wonder of God? And that's certainly true.
Voyager's cameras looked back to the solar system in 1990 and were able to see this tiny little pale blue dot in the distance, and that was us, planet Earth.
So there is a bit of work that's been happening about just looking at the calls of cows. That showed it was pretty clear whether the cows are happy or unhappy. I guess the real impetus for the work, though, is that if you've got a robotic dairy, can you actually detect whether the animal's in any kind of distress or whether it needs some kind of attention?
Everyone's probably familiar with dogs and horses having different personalities. They seem to, some of them seem to be more aggressive or more calm than others, and lizards are no different.
What we have here is a bush medicine from Northern Territory, from Nooka, Arnhem Land.
Well, what we've got at the moment is emote bots, which are machines that can read your emotions biometrically through your facial signals, your muscle signals and so on, and then respond to that in kind. And in a recent survey in Japan of aged care homes, where 90% of aged care homes use these emote bots as carers, the people said, more than half the people said, I prefer the robot version of the carer to the human variety.
This romantic idea that there is still more to be found, that there's a hidden burial chamber, where is it, how do we find it, has, as I said, excited the minds of explorers and archaeologists for decades. And here we actually have the possibility of a large void in the pyramid. This is actually the first new chamber that's been discovered in the pyramid since the 19th century.
This is a really big step forward that will have impact long time down the track. So this is not a a short-term progress that will give us a little nudge for the next year or two. This is something that will make powerful, revolutionary, impactful, large-scale quantum computers viable.
Well, in the scientific community, people who believe in God is becoming very rare. And I just think that we need more Christians who are scientists, or people who are, you know, people of faith who actually believe in science and in God, because actually God and science is not against each other.
You're listening to Open House as we look back on the year 2017. It was a year when we engaged with other faiths and with the fight to end persecution and ignorance of many kinds.
The whole fact is that I wasn't mocking a religion. I don't mock religions. People actually are entitled to have their own religion. But what it is, you know, people are confronted by people in wearing the burqa.
To drive it into a corner, to mock its religious garments, is an appalling thing to do.
It's completely un-Islamic to be disloyal or to be in any way unfaithful to the country that you're living in.
This is one of the most difficult places on earth to be a Christian. When the authorities find out that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, from their perspective, you are not following their leader, and that means you end up either in the labor camp or they will kill you right away.
Thank you. We ask all the Christians to share with us in prayer, and we thank you for the kind sentiments. And we also pray for the attackers, and that God would have mercy upon them and also touch their hearts. We, as Christians, are called to love everybody, even those who persecute us.
There were indeed big social issues on which we could shine a light.
People who do too much parallel play, that is, they're doing something similar or different together in the same room, but they're not connecting, those people will drift. Those people will end up, at least one of them, will end up feeling terribly lonely.
Things like the Harry Potter controversies in the last, 20 years. Some Christian parents were very comfortable with the novels and thought they taught moral values and were not incompatible with Christianity, but many other people saw only that it was a way of children being identified as witches and wizards. This is not a good thing.
No matter how violent they have been, I refuse to accept that's humane to lock a prisoner up for 23 hours and then perhaps only let them out into a yard on their own and not have human contact.
We know that often people do end up stealing money for gambling. They might actually think and feel like they are going to pay the money back once they have a big win. But the realistic aspect is that gambling isn't likely to lead to a positive outcome. So it's never useful to be able to gamble more than what you can afford or be reliant on experiencing a positive outcome, because that's just really not likely to happen.
I think that we need to help young people use technology safely, and parents and carers are in the best position to do that. So if we're not talking with young people about, how is it that they limit their time, how is it that they make sure that they're looking at and doing things that are helpful for them, how is it that they make sure that they know how to navigate problems that might come up, if we're not training our young people on how to do that, it means they're really missing out.
We've done a pretty good job over the past, say, 5 to 10 years of having conversations around conditions like depression and anxiety, but we haven't made the same progress when we look at the more complex conditions like schizophrenia or bipolar. And I think that that's where we need to have quite a significant push over the coming years to try and make sure that people understand better what it means to be living with these complex mental illnesses.
I have to take this stance of being continually sorry. It's not a guilt thing. It's out of, I'm just sorry that hurt you, my friend.
I think it's important. I'm delighted that, your community, through this radio program, are interested in exploring how we can go forward together in a true spirit of Christianity, and also the spirit of Aboriginality.
In 2017, we marked some important anniversaries.
It's a great time to cast our mind back and learn these lessons from history. And I think anyone who understands what people had to go through in the First World War, in the Second World War, at places like Passchendaele, will see that there is no glory in war and will do whatever we could to stop it from happening again.
I would say it would be more difficult not to enlist than to enlist. If you didn't go, you were given a white feather.
He was the King's favourite from the word the get-go. When they met on September the 27th, 1916 at Salisbury Plain, the King of England was desperate because they'd been smashed on the Western Front. The Germans looked like taking over. He couldn't look a commander in the eye who would say, we can do this, we can win it, and Monash did exactly that. In fact, he upbraided or pulled up the King at one moment, who said, if we win the war, and Monash said, what do you mean if? No protocol, no Your Majesty. And the King laughed and said, you're right, you're absolutely correct, of course we're going to win.
Lenin and the intellectual leadership of the party, most of them were in exile. In 1917, in February, the Tsar abdicates, so the Tsarist autocracy, which has lasted over 300 years, sort of crumbles overnight, as it were.
He knew exactly what he was doing, and it was the toughest moral choice of his life. End of the line, one-off, final throw of the dice kind of moral stance. When you follow his thinking, it's quite nail-biting stuff.
And I do think, actually, just coming back to your how to handle Halloween, this year, for any Christian, is the perfect year, because 31st October is the traditional date of Martin Luther's affixing of the 95 Theses. Now, actually, it probably didn't happen on that date. That's just a traditional date, but still, it's a good date, and certainly I know a lot of people are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So if you want a little top topic for evangelism on 31st October, I think you've got it.
The link between Arthur Stace and rock cakes is because he walked into St Barnabas Church Broadway and said, I went in looking for a cup of tea and a rock cake, and I came out knowing the Rock of Ages.
Well, of course, we invited you into the open house this year.
I just wanted to make a comment about the faith-based thing in Queensland. So I wasn't aware of that until I heard your program, and I'm very concerned when the government tries to step in and try and dictate how we think and what we say. So we need to be loud and clear to our politicians that there are some who have a different point of view, and if we don't express it, then we'll just be run over by the popular theories of the day, and not all of them are correct.
But this is a good way of introducing them to the stories of Jesus, and we need to get back to a storytelling diet.
So for us to be able to come here and have an RE class, he came home excitedly saying to me, oh, Mommy, today I'm learning about Mary and Jesus. I'm really hoping that it continues because I think it's really amazing to have that.
I know the North Korean culture pretty well, and I just want to put the humanitarian point of view. They are already living at absolute poverty line, and there are people being held hostage by a regime trying desperately to justify its legitimacy by provoking the West. It's a tricky problem, and I don't propose that I have a solution.
And in 2017, we had a lot of fun with history, poetry and music.
I think it's about power, and it's about demonstrating the power of that deceased person, that they were able to control people and to have slaves fighting even though they themselves were dead.
I think, well, his Christmas poem, of course, has touched the world. Tu scendi dalle stelle, you came down from the starry heights into a shivering little crib. That's been sung all through Italy at midnight mass at St. Peter's. The final hymn is from St. Alphonsus, Tu scendi.
He said, not surprisingly, that he'd never read a poem about Lycan before, and it is very unusual. And the way it's constructed, I think, is really amazing.
The feeling and the emotion I had as a boy, or instinctively could put into a piece as a boy, I suppose is what set me aside to others. But that wasn't there for quite a while as an adult. Even now, I would say that in the last 2 years, I'm probably singing better than I ever have been in my life.
It really does take a great deal of, not just the skill and the ability to be able to do it, but on the night, it just takes great nerve to be able to pop that note out.
And when they get to that very moment, do they have the option to just stick with a C and not go for the F? Or, I mean, how does...
There are various... years ago, they used to sometimes have a flute playing along in the orchestra in case one of the notes didn't come out. It's more usual that the note simply doesn't happen. There are also a couple of emergency measures, which I'm sure we won't have to take, but they are available.
That would be a trade secret.
Yes, I'm probably giving away too many trade secrets at the moment, but yes.
The Magic Flute, a high note on which to end our look back at Open House 2017.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.